Fighting for America.
My message to Republicans is join us. Get on board. They don't do anything except block me.
This is not about impeachment. This is about his faithfully executing the laws of our country.
Fighting for Idaho.
With one word of participation from the governor, all of this would have gone away. This onslaught is because the party would not bend over relative to the health care exchange.
Fighting for you.
We don't need more laws. We need virtue. And looking to texts like the Bible and to the Constitution and this stepping away from the moral decay that has infiltrated our society that I think will save this country.
Boise's Mr. Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, 580 KIDO, good morning. Thank you all for joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Email Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Joining us now, our great friend Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
Living the dream, and you?
I just pulled into work. I figured I'd come in early so I can sit down and talk to you in peace.
Well, bless your heart. We do appreciate that. So today is the first day that campus carry goes into effect. It is the state law. Your thoughts?
My thoughts. Nothing's changed, really. I mean, honestly, nobody, you know, BSU is not going to notice any difference. You know, they're putting out this, BSU and some of the other universities, putting out this mantra that, you know, it's going to be the Wild West on campus now. People are going to be carrying guns everywhere. And even if they are, they ain't going to see them. And that's the whole point behind the concealed carry permit is you're carrying without anybody knowing that you are. So, you know, nothing's really going to change. You know, they've been beating the drum, you know, about this, all these security issues. And, Kevin, they know full well that nothing's going to change. They know full well that, you know, people have been carrying. They're going to continue to carry regardless of what their policy is. And they've been beating this drum because they want, you know, they're trying to get, you know, strike fear, and I think they want to use this as an excuse to beef up their security, and that's exactly what they did.
Are you surprised by the anti-gun rhetoric coming from the educators in Idaho?
Not really, not even close. I mean, honestly, they're no different than the anti-gun people we see across the country, like Dianne Feinstein and their ilk. But it's not surprising at all. We expect it, but. Again, nothing has really changed in all honesty. People, you know, there are some students now that are protected from being expelled and so forth if their firearms happen to show or, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, I've known dozens of people that were carrying before the law went into effect. I was one of them when I went to BSU. I carried every day because I refused to be a victim for a school policy that was just absurd. So, honestly, I don't think a whole lot's changed.
Greg Pruitt with us here, 580KIDO from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. But you must admit, now at least people have some legal protection when they're trying to protect themselves.
Yeah, if you have the enhanced permit, you do have some sort of legal protection, and that is a good thing. What I'm saying in that nothing has changed, really, you know, I'm talking about people are still carrying anyway. But yes, it does offer some sort of legal protection. The hope is that, you know, and what we were told by the legislators, and you know, you take that for what it's worth, is that they'll fight to get the standard permit. You know, they'll try and get it down to the standard permit to carry on campus and eventually a constitutional carry on campus. You know, that would be great. Do I believe that they'll fight for that? And, you know, there's a few of them that I think would. But I don't know how far down that will go. And as you mentioned before, now our fear with this enhanced permit was that they'll eventually get rid of the standard permit. And sure enough, there's already talking from Sheriff Rainey and some legislators to make that happen. And so it's just bad mojo all around.
Well, you're a little Debbie Downer here. Let's see if we can get you fired up here at 580KIDO. So Greg Pruitt with us. So for those of us that are kind of casually following this issue, that we support the Second Amendment and people's right to protect themselves, tell us about the current concealed carry and the enhanced concealed carry, and then we'll go on to what you've discovered.
So we've always had the standard permit, which is relatively easy to get. You know, there's a 3-hour class basically that you can go to, unless you're military or former law enforcement, stuff like that. and you're able to actually just go in and get your permit as long as you show them that you were former military and so forth. Then they came out with this enhanced permit a few years ago, and the enhanced permit, you know, it adds a few more states like Nevada, Washington, and a few others back east. The enhanced permit requires, you know, at least 100 rounds of image, and it also requires more classroom time, usually about 8 hours. That's great. You know, we are for training. Our group is 100% pro-training. We just don't believe it should be government mandated. We believe that violates your constitutional right with the government mandating you take all this training. Our concern was, and I think we were one of the few groups that were opposing this enhanced carry permit, was that they would get rid of the standard one. And we had someone reach out to us and say, hey, there was a meeting with some instructors. And the instructors met with, these are firearms instructors, they met with Sheriff Rainey and Senator Hagedorn. And one of the big ideas that was thrown out there was that the standard permit needed to go away. And that was in the name of efficiency, of the counties not having to deal with two permits, just having the one permit would make it so much easier. And, of course, everyone in the room applauded this big idea. Of course they did, okay, because the enhanced permit costs more money. It's more money for the instructors. It's less hassle for the counties, according to them, which it really isn't. And so everybody applauded this big idea, and this is one of the big concerns that we had. Is we don't have constitutional carry right now, Kevin. We've been fighting for years. Without constitutional carry as a backdrop, we get rid of that standard permit, and we've basically implemented a giant form of gun control.
Greg Pruitt with us here. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. So you're saying that you've got Senator Hagedorn, you've got Sheriff Rainey. Their argument would be that you need additional training, you need regulation to make sure that there's a uniform standard.
Yes, yes. In this meeting that they had, some of the other ideas on top of those were some of the instructors said, hey, this enhanced permit just isn't enhanced enough. We need to have more range time with our students. They need to put more rounds down range. And so on and so forth. And again, we want to make sure that people understand we're not opposed to more training. We believe everyone should go out and do as much training as possible, but it can't come at the hands of government red tape, as you had mentioned earlier. And so that's one of they talked about also the state creating an entire board of people to run this entire program. So we'd have a whole other government bureaucracy to run this whole enhanced carry program. Every idea I heard coming out of the two gentlemen that told me about this meeting was just bad, bad, bad ideas all around. We have spoken to some of the other sheriffs, some other representatives like Representative Boyle, who say they are adamantly opposed to getting rid of the standard permit, and they will do everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen.
And so it continues here at 580KIDO. Is there any good news, Greg, when you think about okay, to me, I was surprised at how difficult it was in a legislature that is dominated by Republicans with a Republican governor just to get this bill through. You remember a few years ago, it died on the Senate floor, it died in committee, and that was always the unwritten rule. It would get to the certain committee, and then it would, golly gee, we ran out of time, everybody. Better luck next year, but we love the guns. Were you surprised that this was the only bill that got through? When you think about how many people, how many demonstrations, how large your organization is when it comes to being pro-gun in Idaho.
Yeah, we were, I think part of the issue was the NRA backed this campus carry bill. And there are varying theories on why they did that, and why that was the one that they chose to pick. My theory is, all instructors in Idaho are NRA certified. You have to be NRA certified to get this enhanced carry permit. And so, the NRA makes money off of people being instructors. Okay. So why not support the one bill that supports the enhanced carry permit? That's my theory. I could be wrong. But.
Well, you bring up a good point about the NRA because I've talked to activists and legislators and they said, well, we've got backing from the NRA. And I go, and I'm thinking to myself, who really cares what the NRA does or says? They don't live here. They're here to lobby, but I mean, they're not the boss of you. They're not the boss of me.
Yeah, that was that's frustrating. You know,
but why is that? Why is there that thought, Greg? That well, we've got cover from the NRA. I mean, is the NRA going to come down here and you know stamp our meal card no dessert?
Yeah, that was one of our frustrations as well, because when we put out our feelers to the people on Facebook and just talking to people as we went around the state, campus carry was, you know, if we had top four issues, campus carry was generally number four. And that's because you know, a lot of people wanted it, and sure, it was an important issue to a lot of Idaho citizens. But it was number four because there's a lot of people that aren't going to college right now. So for them, constitutional carry was always the number one issue. And then you would have people who want to see our castle doctrine strength. And the number three was some sort of anti-federal confiscation bill, you know, so on and so forth. And they did get something like that in there. But, you know, the top two issues that we found Idaho citizens wanting were not being addressed by the state. And it was, well, you know, the NRA is back in this enhanced carry bill. That's what we're going to focus on. I'm like, that's not what the people are wanting. You know,
right, and right, it gets confusing.
Scary, but
yeah, it gets confusing here. Greg Pruitt with us, the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. How gun friendly do you believe Idaho is? We always have guns and ammo and everybody else surveying the state. Last time it was 32. We all made a big deal out of that. Has this helped or hurt us being pro gun?
I don't know how much the Guns and Ammo magazine rankings really matter as far as what influence they have on legislation and so forth. It could be helpful, actually, that they put us so low, because and really they did it unfairly. They targeted our self-defense laws for that ranking. Our self-defense laws are actually pretty solid, but they need some updating. And hopefully we can use that ranking to influence getting our self-defense laws updated. But, you know, Kevin, we have good laws already, luckily, because I tell you what, if we were in the boat of, you know, like Washington State or somewhere like that with, you know, not as good of gun laws, I'd be afraid, because right now getting pro-gun bills through the legislature, even without this campus carry that went through, is very difficult. I don't think our legislature is as Second Amendment friendly as people.
Well, and we're going to out him here more with our friend Greg Pruitt, Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
It's important that we be able to defend ourselves, more so college students, because I have two words, Virginia Tech. This is my
right. But I always assumed that when they reached into their backpacks, they were going for a pencil. But now that we'll all be packing heat, I would like legal instruction in the rules of classroom engagement. When may I shoot a student?
Food for your brain, Kevin Miller. Talking about
Kevin Miller in the morning.
KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, there we go. Kevin Miller in the morning. 580KIDO, 623. Greg Pruitt with us here at 580KIDO. So you got any preview for the legislative season going on when it comes to guns?
Well, we believe that given this meeting that has happened with the firearms instructors and Rainey and Hagenor and so forth, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, it's just a meeting. They just had a little powwow, and they were just talking about some ideas. Well, anytime Sheriff Rainey's involved and anytime legislators are involved, it's not just a meeting anymore. There's a plan already in place. I can almost assure you that to get rid of the standard permit, our focus has to be, and our concern is, if we don't get constitutional carry here in the next two, maybe 3 years, tops, this standard permit will go away. The enhanced permit will become more enhanced, and less Idaho citizens will be able to exercise their God-given right to defend themselves. So for the 2015 session, we believe that constitutional carry should be every pro-gun group's top priority. There can't be anything less than that. There certainly should be some other bills that we can put forward and hope they go through as well. But the push that we need from the people of Idaho to tell their legislators is that constitutional carry needs to happen and needs to happen now. Idaho is not moving in the right direction, in my opinion, on these issues. We keep getting more and more legislators who are not pro-liberty candidates, and we need those people in there to help push these for liberty bills.
All right, so you're a communist.
You're a closet communist, Kevin, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm in the closet, yeah. Now, thanks, by the way, for correcting my Facebook post last night when I said coming up Wednesday morning. And I
thought I had heard you wrong, so I wanted to make sure.
No, that's good. By the way, you and O kind of went back and forth where O was saying soccer is a communist sport, which we've talked about. So for those of us that are not as worldly, not as well-mannered, not as educated, tell us why we should give a rip about today's big match.
Hey, you know, I have been the first to tell you, if you don't like soccer, I don't have an issue with that. I like the World Cup. I grew up playing soccer, so I understand the game. I enjoy every opportunity American go out and kick somebody else's butt. I enjoy that, and I support that. And so should you, Kevin. It's a chance to watch America go out and whip some other country, hopefully.
Right, but on the other hand, we're being force-fed this stuff.
Well, it's advertising. That's no different than what the NFL does every single year. They're, NFL this, NFL, there's commercial after commercial after commercial. Not any different for the World Cup, and the World Cup only happens once every 4 years, so they take every opportunity they can to spread the word about it.
True, but on the other hand, let's face it, soccer really hasn't caught on here. And I mean, if there were a lot of competition for the viewing eyeballs, would we really be focusing so much on the World Cup? I mean, to me, and this is where you have to help me when they go, hey, Klinsmann really did a good change there. They don't know what they're talking about. When the Today Show goes, I believe, I believe, I believe. They don't do that. They're posers.
I can guarantee they're posers. They probably have no idea how the game of soccer moves, how it flows, how, the positions, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
There are a lot of posers in the media. I ain't going to lie. There are a ton of them. Not going to lie. That's absolutely true. But to say that Americans don't care, I mean, you got to look around the country. Soccer has grown exponentially since the last World Cup, even. The ratings for the World Cup, especially our matches, are through the roof. I mean, they are far more than what people were predicting. So Americans do care, maybe not to the extent that we love the NFL or we love other sports, but it's growing. And, in a country where soccer has to compete with like 10 other sports, it's doing pretty well. And, these other countries, soccer is the only sport. And that's why it's generally the world sport, is because it's played all across the world in pretty much every country. But here it's growing, Kevin. I think you're just going to have to jump on the bandwagon, brother.
Well, let me hit you with this. We'll have you break down the match here in a minute at 580 KIDO. But once again, getting back to this thing, and I mean, I'm watching the Today Show, and they're going, we believe, we believe. And I'm going, okay, I remember the Miracle on Ice. I remember this. If there's a breakthrough, whatever. By the way, I do like Klinsmann. I think he's certainly a lot better than Bruce Arena was. And I did cover the national team for a couple of friendlies. But getting back to this, I'm amazed that everybody is so into this. Even, I mean, it's as if the media is telling them what to do, and they go, well, we've got such and such from whatever, and I'm going, huh? And he's from Barcelona. Nobody knows where Barcelona is.
Yeah, but Kevin, I mean, is that really any different than the Olympics? Think about it. When the Olympics come around, I'll even admit, I don't know half the thing about half the sports at the Olympics, but you know what? I cheer on Team America.
Now, wait a minute. Badminton is a legitimate Olympic sport.
So is curling for the Winter Olympics.
But so what should we be looking for today, especially those of us, not including myself, but those of us that want to be in, and, whether it's down at the Grove today with the big screen or at work, watching on the phone, watching on the screen, what should we be listening for or watching for today?
Well, Belgium has some really amazing players. I think other than England, they have the most players playing in the English Premier League, which is generally considered the top league in the world. They have a lot of really good players. Belgium's issue is that they haven't really gelled as a team yet. They got a lot of young players. We should hopefully be able to exploit that if we can, as our team still has a lot of young players. Our individual players are maybe not as good as the Belgian players, but we play together better as a team than they do. But they've got a really strong defense. We've got a pretty good midfield defense ourselves. I expect the U.S. to come out 1-0 in this one, but I wouldn't be surprised to see this go, 1-1 and then go into penalty kicks or something like that. But I think we had a really good chance of it. Yeah.
Now, one more quickly. What type of sport ends in a tie and everybody wins, or you lose and you go on?
The round robin stage, you got to think of as basically the regular season of the World Cup. Okay, you don't have to, if you win, you get 3 points. If you tie, you get 1 point. If you lose, you don't get any points for that. No, nobody celebrates a tie. Nobody wants a tie, but you are rewarded for not losing, essentially, in that regular time, just during the round robin portion. Obviously, now there isn't any ties. They'll go to penalty kicks and overtime and so on and so forth. But,
Greg Pruitt.
NFL has ties, Kevin. So I'm...
Oh, come on. if we went by soccer's rules, Russ Fulcher would still be running for governor.
I wish Russ Fulcher was our governor.
Greg Pruitt, we appreciate it. If people want to get a hold of the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance, what can they do?
They can find us on Facebook. They can go to our website, idahosaa.org. They can also email us at idaho2aa@gmail.com, and we'll get them involved, and we can use all the help we can get, Kevin.
Greg, we appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate all your time and all your help.
Have a good day, sir.
You too.
Bye-bye. Our great friend Greg Pruitt with us. And have you drunk the soccer Kool-Aid, as I post on Facebook here? Are you honestly pumped for today's World Cup match? Isn't it a game? Think about that. We'll love to hear from you. Coming up next, the reaction to the SCOTUS decision. What does it mean? The Supreme Court smacks down the president almost a record 20 times. What does that mean for Hobby Lobby? What does it mean for you? Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Big day yesterday in the Supreme Court. The president, the president got that big one last year with health care. Not so much yesterday when you're thinking of the 5-4 ruling and now everybody talking about, well, we need this, we need that. It was not a good day for the administration when you think about these things. And I, quite frankly, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, it was a wonder for the folks at Hobby Lobby that decided to stand up for themselves, stand up for their rights, and really stick it to the government. With us now, the man of the world, our great friend Joe Filicetti, attorney at large. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Kevin. I don't know how good this connection is, but work with me.
Oh, well, it's only live radio. It's only my livelihood, so gee. hopefully we'll get you through. If not, we'll get you back. So you're a learned man. You're a scholar. You go back to the roots of Western civilization. That's not hyperbole. That's what you're about. So your thoughts on what happened yesterday. Let's start with the Hobby Lobby ruling.
Well, first off, it's actually more of a statutory interpretation case than it is a constitutional case. And I know some people would disagree with me, but it's really a fight between two different laws that Congress passed, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in the 1990s, and then the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, which was passed in the last few years. Again, that was a bill that really wasn't even read by many of the people who voted on it because it wasn't produced at that time. And a lot of the rules and regulations came from the administration after the fact.
Well, can you break that down for us in English? What did Hobby Lobby accomplish yesterday?
Well, basically it just said, you have to break it down three different ways. It used to be that there were different tests used when the Supreme Court looked at a religious right. So if there was a law that was written that was going to substantially burden the free exercise of religion, then it had to be very narrowly tailored. And I know this is difficult in some ways because it's hard to speak about constitutional law without going to the language they use. But what the ACA did, the Affordable Care Act, it took a right to obtain contraception that had been decided by the courts in the 1960s and turned it into a positive right and said employers must subsidize that through their health insurance programs. So instead of saying a woman has a right to that, meaning it has to be available, they said employers have to now provide it. Hobby Lobby, which was a closely held family business, which had a religious objection to certain type of contraception because it's known as an abortifacient. In other words, they believe that it kills an egg that's been fertilized, and they had a religious objection to it. They asked for some type of exemption, which other religious organizations had been given, but they were had all been nonprofit religious organizations. So when Hobby Lobby asked for that, they just said, no, we're not going to provide that. You're a corporation. You're not a person. You don't get a religious liberty right.
Joe, how big was this here at 580KIDO that you have this private group? Obviously, they have the wherewithal to do this, but to take this case to the Supreme Court could not have been cheap.
Oh, it had to be very expensive. But, I mean, the outcome was good not only for them but for others. If you look at the fines that they were looking at, I was looking at that this morning in the actual opinion, the fines were in the millions.
The millions for this. Now, here's what I don't get. And again, you've read this. This is your wheelhouse, if you will. You had a lot of folks last night going, well, even in the majority opinion, the majority wanted to say, well, you just couldn't claim anything that was religious in this. They wanted to really narrow it. Why do you think they did that, Joe?
Well, I mean, here's the problem with where we're at right now with the Supreme Court. It was a 5-4 vote. And the joke back when I was in law school 27, 28 years ago was by a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court could declare itself God under our current constitutional interpretation theory. It's a 5-4 vote. It was Republican appointees versus Democratic appointees. And really all that's going on here is they're trying to interpret two different provisions that the Congress created. These are not just constitutional issues. These are congressional issues. It's statutory interpretation, and people need to remember that as well.
Are we getting to a point where we continue to change the goalposts? I had people yesterday in social media, and by the way, Joe, we always encourage people to either check Joe out or like him on Facebook. He's always posting interesting things. I had people saying something about, you know, who is a corporation to define personhood? And I'm going, personhood, A, I've never heard of that, and B, where is personhood guaranteed in the Constitution?
Well, personhood comes from the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and they don't define it any more than that. And ultimately, the Supreme Court said that a corporation that's closely held would qualify under the typical definition personhood. So that's what the issue is going on there. It's not a person asserting it. It was a corporation that's closely held. There's a family business basically saying, look, we have a religious objection each individually and as a corporation. And the court said, you know what? We're going to listen to that. We're going to give you that right as a corporation.
Joe Filicetti with us, attorney Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. By the way, I voted for you the best of the Treasure Valley. You had my vote, Joe. Maybe next year. At least you placed. We went all out and we didn't place. But let's talk about.
I didn't do anything for it.
Well, that's why you're so popular. Didn't you imagine if you would have unleashed the hounds? But let me hit you with this. 20 times a 9-0 decision has gone against this administration. The record is 23 with President Bush, 15 with President Clinton. What does this say? What does this session say about the Supreme Court's view of how the president governs?
Well, here's the funny thing about this. This is a congressional act. This is not the president. This is, even though they drafted the bill from the White House, this is Congress's baby. At the end of the day, Congress is responsible for the Affordable Care Act, and certainly they're responsible for not fleshing it out before it was passed.
Right, but it was the administration that quarterbacked this thing.
Absolutely, it was the administration, and it was the democratically controlled Congress that ultimately got it through. But I'm just saying, this wasn't fleshed out well before. They provided an exemption for religious organizations, but they didn't allow either people or corporations who had a very strongly held religious belief to have any types of exemption for providing this.
Well, and you remember that. I mean, they had to get that thing through by hook or crook or, you know, some backdoor dealing. They just push the thing through. Remember, you're going to be able to keep your doctor if you like. You're going to be able to keep your health plan if you like. So we're not surprised. Now, anything else that grabs you concerning this session of the Supreme Court? We have the labor ruling. We have the cell phone ruling. Anything that, you know, might not get the same headline as this, but is just as important for liberty?
I think the cell phone ruling was probably the most significant because law enforcement and government generally has been encroaching on people's rights. If you think about what the NSA does every day, I mean, I read something the other day that this president locked up every bit of personal information before he ran for president, and he's got the most intrusive governmental agencies that we've seen.
Amazing when you think about it here at 580 KIDO. So, Joe, I've got to ask you a couple other things. You ready?
Sure.
What should you do when you get arrested?
First off, you should invoke your right to remain silent.
Why?
And I tell that to law enforcement officers. I mainly have defended law enforcement officers in my career. It doesn't typically serve you to talk simply because they've got more information than you do, and they've got other means of obtaining additional information. Just invoke your right to remain silent and ask for your attorney.
And you don't buy that. What if they put you, well, if you're not guilty, why don't you talk, Joe?
Actually, if they ask you that after you invoke your right to remain silent, that's a constitutional violation.
So you're saying if you're ever arrested, and God forbid no one here listens to 580 KIDO will ever be arrested, but maybe for my own personal sanity, you just invoke your right to remain silent because it is true that anything you say will be used against you?
Right. You have a right to remain silent, and you have a right to counsel, and you should invoke both those rights. I mean, people died for those at the founding of this country, and they're important, and they're there for a reason.
What does that mean when they bring you in, though, for questioning?
Even in that situation, you should ask for counsel because you should have somebody from outside reviewing what's happening.
Because you're not in their professionals and you're not in anywhere to figure out what's going on.
Well, again, Kevin, I give the same advice to police officers when I'm training them. I tell them if you're in a shooting or if you're in some type of use of force situation where you're going to get questioned, stop, invoke your right to remain silent, and ask for your attorney.
See, there's some good advice. Joe, anything else you want to share with us today?
No, just a lot of new restaurants in town, lots of places to go eat.
Well, we'll have to do that soon, my friend.
All right.
And, hey, before we go, we always appreciate it. If people want to get a hold of you, what can they do?
They can call me at 388-0123, or they can add me on Facebook. It's just Joe Filicetti or Filicetti Law Office.
All right, Joe. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks, Kevin.
Take care. All right, our great friend Joe Filicetti. I love this. So if you're ever arrested, now this is stuff you're not going to get anywhere else. This is information that is pertinent and is relevant to you staying out of the hooscow. So when they pull the law and order stuff, when they sit there and go, well, we just want to talk, beep, 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 you just say to them, I want to invoke my right to silence, to remain silent, and I want my attorney. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Let's get you to traffic.
This is a critical win for religious liberty around this country.
Today's victory against this unjust mandate is important not just for families, but also for religious ministries and for all Americans.
Religious business owners are free to exercise their businesses according to their most deeply held religious convictions.
Religious freedom did not die today.
Kevin Miller wants to hear from you. 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And coming up, we'll continue this World Cup debate. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's go to Jim in Middleton at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. Kevin, first off, I want to start off by saying that we're exercising at your sponsors. We did pick up our bed at Sleep Country the other day, so I just wanted to share that with you. We went in Nampa, and Rebecca took care of us. And
how'd you like
so
it?
Forth. Well, in the showroom, it was great. We haven't gotten it yet. The one that we picked out is on its way. But we got a nice Sealy mattress, and they're going to drop it off at the house and pick up the old one, Kevin, and I'll give you an update on that after.
Please do. Please do. Well, thank you for supporting our sponsors. We appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome, Kevin, and that's what it takes. You know, talk is cheap, and you got to listen and lead by example, if that makes any sense. But, Kevin, I wanted to ask this question, you know, that the ad that continues to run on the radio station, that Project Hope, it almost implies that people don't have the right to vote, or there's somebody blocking them and so forth. And anyway, I just wanted to get your take on it. This continues to run. Is it appropriate to ask who's funding that?
Well, it's a national ad, and I have to be very careful because this is when you get in trouble by talking about this. And I don't control what runs and what doesn't on the radio station, but it's on a lot of radio stations across the country.
I'm sure, and it sounds like propaganda to me because I don't know that anyone in the United States doesn't have the right to vote or can't. You know, as far as the gun violence goes, if you want to protect yourself from gun violence, move out of liberal cities and towns, and you won't have that problem.
I would agree with you on that, yes.
Anyway, Kevin, that's all I wanted to say, and we'll continue to support you, your daily show, and your sponsors, aside from that one. I'll talk to the radio people about that.
I really need you to come in sometime on Saturday and straighten out that crew. I know it's early, but I'd love to have you as the sheriff with that rabble, those rabble rousers on Saturday.
Well, Kevin, I will do that. I'm actually working this Saturday. You know, we got a new crew in place, some new managers and so forth, and we want to make sure that the transition is going smoothly, but I will definitely do that because I just love a good debate.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim, and you have a good one.
Okay. Take care, Kevin. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Thanks, Jim, from Middleton. Let's get to traffic now. And Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up next, we'll talk a little soccer. Is it really catching on, or is it just mindless, endless globalist propaganda? Speaking of propaganda, Phil Hardy will defend soccer. Big event today. Find out next. Kirby Emmett.